Please be seated. A man named Fred Koch wrote an article in a magazine called the U.S. Naval Institute Proceedings. The title of the article was Authority. This is what he wrote. Two battleships assigned to the training squadron had been at sea on maneuvers in heavy weather for several days. Koch was serving on the lead battleship and was on watch on the bridge as night fell. The visibility was poor with patchy fog, so the captain remained on the bridge, keeping an eye on all the activities, and shortly after dark, the lookout on the wing reported light bearing on the starboard bow. "Is it steady or moving astern?" the captain called out. The lookout replied, "Steady, Captain," which meant they were on a dangerous collision course with another ship. The captain then called the signalman, "Signal that ship. We are on a collision course. Advise you change course 20 degrees. Back came the signal, "Advisable for you to change course 20 degrees. The captain said, "Send this. I'm a captain. Change course 20 degrees immediately." The reply, "I'm a seaman second class. You had better change course 20 degrees immediately." By this time, of course, the captain was furious, and so he spat out, "Send this. I'm a battleship. Change course 20 degrees. Back came the reply, "I'm a lighthouse." And the captain changed course. Another story. Christian Herter was governor of Massachusetts back in the 1950s, and he frankly could be quite full of himself, a politician full of themselves. Who knew? He was running hard for a second term, and one day, after a busy morning chasing votes and had had no lunch, he arrived at a church barbecue. It was late afternoon, and Herter was famished. As Herter moved down the serving line, he held out his plate to the woman serving chicken. She put a piece on his plate and then turned to the next person in line. "Excuse me," Governor Herter said. "Do you mind if I have another piece of chicken?" "Sorry," the woman told him. "I'm supposed to give one piece of chicken to each person." "But I'm starved," the governor said. "I didn't have lunch." "Sorry," the woman said again. "Only one to a customer." And like I said, Herter could be a little full of himself, so he decided to throw a little weight around. "Do you know who I am?" he said. "I am the governor of this state." "Do you know who I am?" the woman answered. "I'm the lady in charge of chicken." "Now, move along, mister." Authority. Authority really is a complex word. Who do you think you are? Who said you could do that? What's the big idea? You're getting too big for your britches. You need to take it down a peg. You need to show a picture ID. All of us, young and old and in between, have at numerous times openly questioned authority, just like the chief priests and elders do in today's gospel lesson. By what authority are you doing the things you're doing, and who gave you that authority, they want to know. And wouldn't it just have been easier if Jesus had simply replied, "God"? "God gave me the authority." But he doesn't. Instead, he turns the table and asks them a question. Did the baptism of John come from heaven, or was it of human origin? They can see that he's tricked them into kind of a no-win situation. So, like any good religious leaders, they reply, "I don't know." And then Jesus tells the story about two brothers. Frankly, two pretty sorry brothers. One who says he'll do something and then does it, and another says he won't do something, but then he does. But as I studied this text this week, I kept coming back to this concept of authority. And I kept coming back to the questions of the chief priests and the elders. By what authorities do you do the things you do? And I wondered about us. By what authority do you live the life you live? Who do you think you are? Who said you could do that? Why do you believe the things you believe? By what authority? And like Jesus, the easy answer, of course, could be God, our faith. But maybe we need to be careful before coming to too quick a response to that question. I remember a few years back calling a parishioner, not someone here, it was another parish, that I hadn't seen in quite a while in church. I was just calling to check on them. And they had been at the lake. They had busy weekends. They had soccer and baseball. They'd been out of town over Christmas. But I'll never forget the end of the conversation. But one of those days, don't be surprised when you look up and see us out there in the congregation, because we just love you and we just love our church. We can't be bothered with showing up and participating in any noticeable way, though. I added that last part. Who, though? Who or what has authority in your life? I know a number of priests of the church who can preach an incredible stewardship sermon and manage incredible stewardship campaigns, but don't give a penny to the church themselves. Who or what has authority in their lives? I grew up in Birmingham, Alabama. I sang "Jesus Loves the Little Children" a lot. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. But then later hear the adults who led us in the song not hesitate to use derogatory, mean, and hateful words about those same little children. By what authority did they say the things they said? Every week here, we say the Lord's Prayer. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. But how many of us have spent years holding on to resentments and nursing grudges, withholding grace and forgiveness from others while accepting it for ourselves from God? By what authority can we be so unforgiving? You've heard me stand up here and preach about how to be a follower of Christ, we're called to serve, we're called to care for others, we're called to feed the hungry, we're called to care for the homeless. But not a week goes by that I don't find myself accosted by someone begging for help. And more often than I'd like to admit, I've either passed them by or passed them on. Too busy or too cynical with my churchy business to be about the Lord's business. By what authority can I be such a hypocrite? Whether it's the chief priest or the elders or the brothers in the parable, all of us know what it's like to say yes to God but live no. Times when we've resisted the burden of being a true follower, when we've made it clear that we prefer our own way rather than God's. And I'm convinced that's about who or most often what has authority in our lives. Whether it's a person, whether it's time or a lack thereof, fear, something that threatens our own authority, good intentions, distractions, troubles, self-absorption, our own agendas, our own sense of what's right and wrong, you name it. But that's the key. You name it. Because our gospel tells us that it doesn't have to be that way. You see, authority is not something that imprisons us. Authority is always and only something we give. Our gospel tells us that it's better to say no to God and change our minds, change who or what has authority over us, than it is to shout, "Lord, Lord," from the rooftops and never follow through. Because the true measure of our faith is what we do after we've said yes. By what authority do you do the things you do? By what authority do you live the life you live? Who do you think you are? Who said you could do that? Why do you believe the things you believe? What's the big idea? Lives of faith are never going to make sense to the world, but maybe that's what having faith is all about. To recognize the authority of Jesus in such a way that all the people we meet will want to know by what authority we do the things we do. God love you. Amen.